Alrighty, welcome back to episode 106 of Two Drunk Brothers in a Podcast, presented by the Belly Up Sports Podcast Network. And shout out to Belly Up for helping us get this big announcement. But I think we could call this our first official sponsor of the podcast, but we are sponsors, affiliates, whatever you call it, of Blue Coolers. If you guys haven't heard of them or checked them out, you can find the link in our bio. We'll obviously tweet it out with this episode. That's pretty cool. They have a lot of stuff out there. Basically, think like Yeti material coolers, but they have one that has fucking wheels on it. And I personally own a Yeti. I'm going to own a Blue probably too. The biggest pain in the ass about the Yetis and those like big bulky, even Arctic coolers, is that they don't have wheels, but Blue has one that has wheels. So it's pretty cool.
I want to say if you have wheels now, a lot of them are starting to come around, but yeah, check them out. They're essentially the same thing. Obviously lesser costs. So like your other brands, but no drop off in quality. So check those out. They have cups, everything you could ever want, I guess, in a cooler company. So check those out. It'll be a good gift coming up for Valentine's Day, birthday present, whatever. They're doing free shipping right now on $35 orders. So if you want to try them out, be a perfect time.
There you go. Yeah, like Travis said, Valentine's Day coming up. So if you want to drop a little hint to your spouse, I don't know if a lot of females are listen to this show, but if they do, check that out. But if you want to drop a hint to your wife, fiance, girlfriend, whatever it is, make a great Valentine's Day gift, birthday gift coming up. Like Travis said, free shipping on $35 on any order over $35. Link in bio, and we'll also tweet it out and put it on the socials as well. With that being said, we're going to dive in. Again, that's Blue Coolers. We're going to dive in, and we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. Got a loaded show for you. Had a big three-day stretch of football that just happened with super wild card weekend in the NFL. The first time we ever had six games on a playoff weekend in the NFL. And let's kick it off there. Let's just go in order of the games, Travis. Don't have to like be anything super specific, but let's kick it off. So Saturday, we had the first game of the weekend. It was Bills and Colts. So Travis and I are talking. Not a lot of teams impressed us this weekend.
Yeah, this was probably, honestly, my favorite game to watch. The rest of them, like, I mean, maybe another game in there was interesting to watch, but this one was by far and away best, most controversial. It's always fun. This just started the horrid job that the refs did all weekend long. Terrible. Nobody knew what was going on, how to work anything, but this game, they seemed like exceptionally bad over all the other ones. Outside of that, people can blame on the refs or whatever they want, but the Colts killed themselves. Their coaching shot themselves in the foot. Horrible coaching decisions.
Yeah, Frank Reich deciding not to kick a field goal on fourth and goal when at that point in the game, I don't remember
how. They were up three.
They were what?
They were up three.
The Colts were up three or the Bills?
The Colts were up three. It was 10-7.
Yeah, I mean, you have to take the points there. And
because then the Bills drove down and scored that touchdown right before half.
That's right, and they covered your minus four. You're right. Yep. So you have to take the points there. I mean, that's just – and it came down to that field goal. And then ultimately, like Travis said, this just kicked off a weekend of horrid officiating. I tweeted out from my personal account. I know we tweeted out from the podcast account. But NFL officiating, you got to figure it out for this weekend. This cannot continue, especially on through the Super Bowl. You know, you've made it this far in a year that no one thought you would. COVID was going to ravage your season, but we were here. Let's figure the fuck out. The non-calls on the delay of games for Philip Rivers, I get he's a veteran. You need to give him a little bit, but there were some times when it was like 1 or 2 seconds after it hit zero before they snapped the ball.
Yeah, and then they would bring in Mike Pereira, I think, is who they brought in for this game. And they were like, because it was very well known on the broadcast and all throughout social media that these delay of games, I mean, there was at least four that I counted. A lot of them resulted in big gains. But I think Mike Pereira ended up saying that, you know, the NFL refs have, like, they've been doing this. And by the time they'll, like, be looking at the play clock and they'll see it, like, tick down from one. So you get, like, a half second to maybe a full second before they can look to see if the ball snapped. I'm like, you mean to tell me that a ref can't be looking at the ball, can't get in position to look at the ball or the play, and then in his peripherals see the play clock in the background. That right there shows you how old and senile these fucking refs are.
Not only that, it's just like, okay, you're a multi-billion-dollar industry. Let's throw another ref on the field. We already have too many, but whatever. If this can prevent it, throw another ref on the field. Have him, up until the ball is snapped, watch that fucking play clock. Like, his one job is to watch that play clock. I don't know where you put him. Maybe you put him in the backfield. I don't know, behind the quarterback, on another line judge, whatever. But his one job up until the ball is snapped is to watch the play clock. And then after that, watch something else, like watch the line of scrimmage, watch for other penalties, and you can participate that way. Just throw another ref out there, because that wasn't the only game that happened. And I can't remember. I think it might have been the Tampa Bay-Washington game, where Tom Brady got a little bit of leeway.
Yeah, I mean, I saw it a few other times, but this one was by far and away the worst. I think another way that you can maybe solve this or help be more accurate, similar to baseball, how umpires have, you know, that little device keeps balls and strikes. Why doesn't the back judge or the umpire, whoever the fuck the person is behind the quarterback, have like a little timer that resets on the play clock?
Like, they all wear those watches, like have one that
vibrates. Don't have like a handheld timer.
Yeah. Have a, that vibrates whenever it hits zero. Yeah. I mean, there's something you got to figure out, because that one, like, I understand, like you said, Travis, like giving them like a little bit of leeway, but there were times when it was like a second or two past. I mean, we had everyone on Twitter chiming in on it. And then again, you know, there were some calls that didn't go the Colts way either. I know there's that one touchdown where the linemen were downfield a little bit. That was questionable. What was another big questionable call in that game?
The one that a lot of people thought was Gabriel Davis's on that drive down where they scored the touchdown before half, his foot being out of bounds. It was called a catch on the field, and it was way entirely too close to be overturned.
And that's my thing. Like, they called it a catch on the field. There was nothing there to overturn it. Not because I bet on the Bills, because I ended up losing at the end of the day. But even if that pass was called incomplete, I would be like, yeah, that's an incomplete pass. But since it was called a catch, I'm like, yeah, it's a catch.
It's
like
a similar situation. We'll talk about this game a little bit later, but to the national championship on Monday night, where that guy caught that touchdown on the goal line and they ruled it down at the one on the play. Had they ruled that a touchdown, they wouldn't have reversed it, because it was that close.
Yeah.
But since they ruled down the one, they didn't reverse it.
Bills and Colts. So Bills obviously won. They're my pick to win the Super Bowl. They're really going to need to step it up this weekend, because they were out front big and just let the Colts. They were up by two touchdowns at one point and let the Colts back in it. Next game
is very spotty.
Yeah. Next game on Saturday was Rams and Seahawks. And I had Rams +4. I was going to put money on a money line. I didn't do it. I just, like, the Seahawks have been trending downward all season long, but I did not expect it to be that bad.
Yeah, as a former St. Louis Rams fan, you should be ashamed of yourself. I don't care what I wanted to pick. I could never root for the Rams. But regardless, Russell Wilson, horrible back end of the season, horrible game on Saturday. Like, I'm talking, he just looked shitty.
Dude, that screen
11 of 27? He was 11 of 27.
That's bad. That screen pass that ended up for a pick six, like, and like, I tweeted this out again. I said, I will never understand forcing a player into the offense because they're pissed off. DK Metcalf was mad. He was infuriated. And they tried to force him into the offense by getting him going on a screen pass. And look what happened. Now, granted, he did end up having two touchdowns and 100 plus yards. But still, I mean, that pretty much cost him the game. That was a huge momentum swing. Rams went up, what was it at that point? 13-3. Or something so like
that. I have no idea what the score was at that point. But, I mean, DK Metcalf just has to understand and learn how to be a better team player. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I feel like it's because of him. Not necessarily exactly, but it probably has a factor in there of why their offense fell off in the back end of the season. Like, Tyler Lockett at the beginning of the year when they were doing well was thriving in that offense. DK was thriving in that offense. But as soon as they started just targeting him and only him, and how can we get the ball deep to DK, you just start cutting everyone else out of the equation, and the defenses know who to focus on. And the Rams, obviously with Sean McVay, know how to do that, know how to adjust to things like that. So good for them. They lost and they deserve to lose because Pete Carroll's a shitty coach.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams defense looks great. Unfortunately, I think they're going to run into a buzzsaw this weekend with the Packers. We'll talk about that in DeGeneres Digest. So Rams Seahawks, not much of a game. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Washington football team, a lot better of a game than many thought would be. Bucks pushed if you got a minus eight, which we did. So it wasn't a loss, but it wasn't a win. So whatever. What I thought was interesting in this game, Taylor Heinicke, man, shout out to him. I mean, the dude played out of his fucking mind. I mean, absolutely played. Like, that one touchdown where he, like, ran and jumped and lunged for the pylon in the end zone. I mean, that's just – that was a dude putting the team on his back.
Yeah, I mean, I will give him credit. He did ball out. But if you're the Bucs, that's quite embarrassing, like, honestly. You're a playoff team. You're a good team. You're playing a 7-9 Washington football team with their – I'm pretty sure at this point Taylor Heinicke was, like, their fifth-string quarterback.
Well, they had
– you have Haskins, Alex Smith, Kyle Allen, and then I think – I guess Heinicke would have been their fourth string.
Well, I don't know. All throughout the game, they're talking about how 2 months ago he was – he went back to finish his degree at Old Dominion, and he was in classes, like, a couple months ago. And, I mean, Pat McAfee said something on his show this week. He goes, who was the fucking – scout in that quarterback room for the St. Louis Battlehawks, because they need a job in the NFL. He goes, because they had Jordan Ta'amu, who was the XFL MVP, and Taylor Heinicke was the backup. Are you fucking kidding me?
Yeah, I mean, the fact that he didn't even play in the XFL, came to the NFL in a playoff game and made it a game for a shitty team. Bucks got to step it up if you want to stand any chance against the Saints. I think the Saints saw that, and they're just drooling over what they can do with Taysom Hill this week. But we'll talk about that a little bit later.
Talk about the Saints. Yeah, but let's round out. Let's go into Sunday. Obviously, Bucks are going to have to improve. Go ahead. Sunday, I think, was Ravens-Titans. This was a boring but also fun game to watch, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, what the Ravens were able to do on defense, Derrick Henry, 18 carries for 4 yards. Incredible in my eyes. Meanwhile, Lamar Jackson, 16 for 136 yards. Ravens are hitting their stride. I know it took them a little bit to get it in this game, but they really do look good on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, they really do. I mean, because me and Travis both had Ravens minus -3, which hit, by the way. Just want to throw that out there. When Lamar Jackson busted off, it was like third and something and like third and eight, and he busts off that 50-yard touchdown. I was like, dude, this motherfucker can't throw an out route for shit, but holy fuck, is he faster than hell.
Yeah, he's going to – I think his legs are going to give the Bills some fits. I mean, he's fine at that. 16 carries for 136 yards, that's insane. Finally won his first playoff game, so give him props to that.
Yeah. At 24 years old, which I don't know why people were calling him – we still are kind of Lamar haters, but I'm starting to turn around to the guy a little bit just because 24 years old. I mean, he can't throw for fuck, but he can, doesn't matter when you can run like that.
Yeah. If he can just learn how to control forcing the ball places, yep, he'll be a lot better. That's all I'm saying. Yeah. Also, they started really slow. Something they're not going to be able to do this weekend. Yep. If they want to have seen any chance against the Bills, they're going to have to come out scoring, not allow scores like quick, because the Titans scored 10 points fast.
Yeah, and then they let off the gas. Like, again, I think this all goes back to the Titans coaching. They also punted when they shouldn't have punted at one point in the game, I feel like. It was fourth down or something like that. I just feel like Mike Vrabel made some very questionable coaching decisions in that game. I can't remember exactly what it was, because I was so hype in the moment, focused on the Ravens covering. I knew that was going to happen, though. Titans are frauds. Tannehill's a fraud. If they think they're going to get that easy of a win, and if they think they can only score 20 points to beat the Bills, they are sadly mistaken.
You mean the Ravens?
If the Ravens think they can only score 20 points to beat the Bills, they're sadly mistaken.
Yeah, they probably won't be able to do that. But if their defense plays the way they did on Sunday, they should be in a good spot, because the Ravens defense, didn't know this, allows the second least touchdowns per game, 2.2, which is low. You know who allows the first? The Rams, 2.1.
Yeah, I could have figured that. But I still think I'm going to call it right now before we jump into later on talking about divisional rounds. I think the Ravens-Bills, and well, the Saturday night game and the first game on Sunday to me are going to be the two most that I'm looking forward to. Ravens-Bills, Browns-Chiefs. I think Rams-Packers are going to suck, and I think Bucks-Saints is going to be kind of a snoozer.
Yeah. On to the next game on Sunday, which honestly, I didn't think Sunday's games were all that good. Like Jared said, the Ravens-Titans game was like interesting, but also kind of boring. This next game, very, very boring.
Oh, time out. Before we jump into that one, what did you think after Marcus Peters intercepted that ball and went and danced at midfield on the Titans logo? Do you like that or hate it? What?
I like it. I don't care. Go for it. I mean, well, play better.
Do you know why they did that?
It had something to do with earlier on in the season.
So whenever the Titans went to Baltimore, the pregame, they came out, were like dancing all over their logo.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been a big, like, super stickler on dancing on the logos and stuff. Cause I'm like, get the fuck over it. If you don't like it, then play good on the field and you don't have to worry about it.
I just thought it was hilarious. Cause you guys all know we're Miami Dolphins fans. So is my wife and her father. We've watched Ryan Tannehill for a long time, and we were in a bracket pick 'em, and she picked a bracket and she picked the Titans. And she was like, when Ryan Tannehill threw that interception, she was watching him. She goes, I fucking knew I shouldn't have trusted Ryan Tannehill. He sucks.
Yeah. I mean, he had a good season. He's done well with him. Can't knock him for that, but
why would he throw that ball? Like if you go back and look at the replay, there was one Titans guy and four Ravens defenders right there.
Yeah. It was not a good decision.
Yeah. Anyway, let's go to
the next game. The Saints and Bears, the game that was broadcast on Nickelodeon.
Which might have been the most entertaining part of the game.
Yeah, that's about it. Like, got some giggles out of it, and I mean, I'm sure little kids thought it was cool, but some of the announcers were just...
I get it.
it's for kids, which is cool, but at the same time, I could not watch a game like that all the time because there was way too much shit going on.
There was a lot, but again, it was meant to get, you know, kids involved in the game because everyone knows that youth football participation in America is declining. I think they did a cool thing. I hope they do it more often, to be honest with you. Like maybe next season they can do it like maybe every, I don't know, maybe the Sunday night game could be broadcast on Nickelodeon or maybe like a Sunday afternoon game. But I thought it was kind of cool. That was the best part of the game, to be honest with you. It was boring. Mitch Trubisky didn't play horrible, but the whole entire game changed when that fucking stupid Wims guy dropped that dime. I mean, Trubisky threw an absolute dime to him in the end zone, 50 yards out, and he's dropped.
Absolute moron because that's the guy that got in that fight with the Saints last time. Remember? Yep. When he tried to snatch the chain off him and they whacked him in the face like an idiot.
Yeah.
That kid just needs to quit football because obviously after that, horrible. But other than that, like their play calling was horrendous. It's like Nagy had the sheet again because they weren't getting the ball to Allen Robinson. Allen Robinson had four targets heading into like the second to last drive in the game.
Yeah,
the guy that needs to be catching 10 passes a game.
Yeah, which is prop on receptions over 5.5 hit by some garbage time, but. Another thing is the Saints didn't impress me in that game because they could not – like the Bears had 3 points going into the – like pretty much the final drive of the game. They didn't really put it away until about 7-8 minutes left. The Saints should have buried the Bears well before the fourth quarter the way they were playing.
I feel like that's the same thing as how that Bucks-Redskins – or Bucks football team game was though, man. Like I don't know if it's just they just don't want to – put it all out on the line or if they, I don't know, just the conservative play calling has been there all year long for every team. I will say that.
Yeah. And the more I think about it, I'm a little bit excited for that Bucs Saints game just because it features, you know, it's the first NFL playoff game ever to feature two starting quarterbacks over the age of 40.
Wow. What a stat with the wind at 10 miles an hour, slightly to the southeast.
I mean, that's pretty like how many fucking people over 40 have started an NFL playoff game.
That is crazy. That's wild. Last game, one nobody in their right mind could have ever predicted. Browns Steelers. Is it Marquise or is it Mike? It's Marquise.
Marquise. But I have some insight. It wasn't like, so the reason why apparently he oversnapped that first ball is because they started
with 7 foot tall.
Yeah. Well, they started some like right guard or so one of the guards came in right or left that hadn't like didn't play all that often. And for some reason they started him in this playoff game. So he was, and he'd be getting whooped all week at practice or some shit like that. So Pouncey is worried that he had to fucking get over and help him. And apparently on the replay, you can see when he snaps it, like right as he's snapping, he's already going to help the guy to the right or left or whatever the fuck it is to help him out, block his guy. So I'm not blaming. I'm not saying like he's totally not.
Hey, it doesn't matter if you block him, if you fucking snap the ball like that.
Well, James Conner didn't fucking gave Cam Newton
zero effort.
Cam Newton recovering that football.
People are like, oh, Big Ben could jump on. I'm like, do you want Big Ben jumping on that ball or a 5'9" James Conner jumping on that ball? I think I'll take James Conner with the hands, but still, like, that can't, you cannot snap the ball that far over his head. Change the complexity of the whole game. I would go as far as saying that potentially lost the game. All momentum right there out the window.
Well, if it wasn't then the next drive when you come out, I think it was that's when they threw in there when he threw one of his four interceptions and then they go down and score. That it was either that or that giant ass fucking 40-yard fucking touchdown to Jarvis Landry. That either that fumble or after they got the interception after that big ass pass to Jarvis Landry, I'm like, that's Blouse's ball game.
Yeah, it was horrible. I mean, the fact that they even came back and made it kind of close is just crazy enough on its own. But Big Ben, four picks against the Browns secondary, who, by the way, was without, I think, two like of their key pieces in secondary, still threw four picks. I think it's time for Big Ben to hang up the shoes.
Baker met one of his offensive linemen in the locker room before the game. This guy ended up coming in the fourth quarter when one of the guards got hurt. They were just like so thin. So I felt dirty. Me and Travis had Steelers -6. The only reason why we took that line is because they were without their head coach all week. They were without some key players on the secondary. They were thin at offensive line. But I know I'm sorry to all the Browns fans because I actually like the Browns. I like Baker. I like Jarvis.
Yeah, I mean, I've rooted for him for the last, you know, 2-3 years. I have a Baker fucking jersey hanging in my closet. I did not want to root for the Steelers. I mean, I picked them in my bracket. I bet on them. So obviously I'm going to root for them. But I am happy now looking back after it that it's in the past that the Browns won. Are the Browns legit though?
We'll talk about that. I mean, so we're going to do the Generous Digest a little bit differently this week. We're not going to pigeonhole ourselves into picking a line in each game. We're going to talk about all the games, the lines, shit like that. Then we're going to just give you our picks and we can like spread them across whatever. But to me, like the Browns Steelers game was fun to watch just because of the sheer amount of points that were scored in it.
I quit watching at halftime.
Something told me like
Hulu the rest of the night for me.
Something told me that the Steelers were going to climb back in and they did, but that they just never could get there. So wildcard weekend, I would say it was pretty good. We saw some good football going forward.
I was less than impressed. Like Sunday, I was like super excited on Sunday to sit down and watch football. At the end of the day, I was like, I just fucking wasted my entire day watching three games that I was not really all that excited about.
Well, the Ravens-Titans game, like I said, was boring, but it was exciting because you had those big chunk plays, Marcus Peters interception where they dance on the logo.
Yeah, I guess I can't knock that game because it was close and it was good. But the other one –
the Saints-Bears, like that just like lulled me to sleep. And then the Browns-Steelers right away, like you said, the Browns went up 28-0 in the first like 7 minutes of the game. So it was kind of predictable the rest of the way. But anyway – so wildcard weekend, divisional weekend's coming up. Got a lot of big games. We'll talk about those. Let's talk about the national championship game, the college football national championship game that happened last night on January 11th. And Bama, Jesus.
This was no surprise to anyone who wasn't an Ohio State fan. I mean, Bama unmatched, best team in college football this year. Are they, saw this going on around a lot, are they the best team ever in college football?
No, man, I don't think so.
I think the only reason, and I'm not going to say that they're not, I think the only reason that there's some discrepancy is because Bama's secondary, not even Bama's secondary, Bama's defense is fucking horrible. Their defensive line is atrocious.
Dude, I can't remember what year it was. Maybe it was 07. The 07 Florida Gators, to me, is like probably the best team of all time.
But I will say that Bama's offense might be the best offense in college football.
Yeah. I mean, definitely, it was amazing. And shout out Steve Sarkisian. He obviously did a good job. Got that got the Texas job after being a booze bag in L.A. and losing his head coaching position at USC. But, I mean – we're going to talk about best college football team of all time. I mean, Travis, I just want to rip off some of the let me see if I can find a depth chart. Let me see a grid. Hold on.
Oh, I know who is on the team. I'm just saying, watching this Bama team, they could score on literally anyone at any given moment.
Yeah, so here.
I did not give enough credit for what he was able to do this year, but, I mean, whatever – Devonta Smith was out or Jalen Waddle was out, he would find an open receiver.
I mean, it was just
– it's insane.
It was insane. But, yeah, I mean, the best college football team of all time, I don't think so. Now let's talk about the other side of the coin, Ohio State. I mean, I called it from day one. Now they did be – if you guys are loyal listeners, you know I've slandered the Big Ten so much for starting the season late, allowing Ohio State to be in the Big Ten championship game with only having five games under their belt. Yes, they came in. They beat Clemson. But this was a weird year. Trevor Lawrence didn't get to play the whole season. There's a few calls in that game that maybe switched the momentum. I just knew – I told Travis this on Monday. I was like, I am so confident in Alabama winning this game. It's not even funny.
Yeah, I mean, I get – yeah, like you said, I get Ohio State beat Clemson. But – which, who knows, that could have been a fluke game. But they did not belong there. They did not belong in that game. That was the same score of the game that Texas A&M played against Alabama at Alabama for like the second week of the season. A&M could have put up a better game. I think Oklahoma could have made that a way better game.
But
even Cincinnati could have made that a better game.
But at the end of the day, I mean, they would have been the four seed anyway. I mean, Ohio State did what they had to do. They beat the three seed.
No, I'm not saying they didn't.
I don't think there was any team out there that was going to compete with Alabama this year. I mean,
no, like, there wasn't at all. Like you said, they're unmatched. But we did finally see Justin Fields. Not even finally, but everyone came to their senses after that Clemson game that Justin Fields is not this almighty godly quarterback that everyone thought he was.
So I have two things about Justin Fields that I notice. I think he'll be a good quarterback in the NFL. Yes. Do I think he's going to win you a Super Bowl in the NFL? No. He's going to be like Kyler Murray, except he's like Kyler Murray. There's two traits against Kyler Murray that I think Kyler Murray's better with his legs. Justin Fields is afraid to use his legs. Doesn't use them near as often as he should.
Kyler Murray is way quicker.
Yeah. And two, I think Justin Fields is a better precision passer than Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray cannot hit a guy when he's like sitting down in zone triple coverage or hit him on the boundaries. I told you this earlier, Travis. That's one thing that Justin Fields showed me last night that was impressive. He can throw the ball to the boundaries and get to his receivers close. Kyler Murray can't. But that's what I think he is. I think he's Kyler Murray 2.0 with not as good speed and a little bit better accuracy. That's it.
Yeah, Justin Fields looked a lot like Tua did in college. You know, use his legs when he wanted to, could throw the ball down the field. But how that's going to translate to the NFL, who knows? Could be more scared, could not want to move the ball down the field. At the end of the day, I think we finally, like, we know now that Justin Fields is not QB2 heading into the NFL draft. I don't think so anyway.
So we were talking about this today, Travis, but we'll talk about it now. We could see, like, obviously we'll do our draft episode, but what do the Jets do at 2? Because obviously Trevor Lawrence is number one. Like, depending on who they hire, which I'm hearing a lot of rumblings now, apparently Doug Peterson has connections with the Jets brass. Like, he's really, really good friends with, like, the higher-ups in the Jets organization, that he could be the coach there. So I think if Doug Peterson gets hired, I see a legitimate chance that the Jets keep Sam Darnold.
I have no idea what they're going to do with Sam Darnold. If not, they're going to trade him for something. Somebody is going to pick up Sam Darnold. I don't know why. I will never, no matter what you try to convince me that he doesn't have a good O-line or good wide receivers, he still throws an extreme amount of picks and just does not look good. So
yeah,
regardless with what they do with that pick, I don't know. I don't know if there's a quarterback that you could take it to that you would want to take there.
Yeah, because like you said, that they need offensive linemen, and that Penei Sewell kid's apparently the biggest can't-miss tackle of this generation. So we'll talk more about that later on. Before we move on to two more topics that we'll talk about.
Hang on, I want to say something really quick.
Yeah.
I have two more things. I saw a tweet earlier today. I don't know if you saw it. It was from our podcast account. Saban's recruiting thing. The fact that he has been able to go to every recruit that he's ever talked to and say, if you stay your time at Bama, you are guaranteed a championship ring. Because that's essentially what would have happened if every single recruit he's ever talked to stayed at Bama for like 3 to 4 years. That's insane. How do you even match that as a recruiter?
It's longer than that, bro. I mean, it's longer than that. I mean, I saw some people like arguing today, like, well, Alvin Kamara was there for his freshman year, but then left.
Okay. But just his freshman year, that's what I'm saying. You have to stay there. If everyone would have stayed there for like the length of eligibility before draft, so like for 3 years.
Yeah, so he's won championships, not even the last couple of years, dude. He's won championships 03 at LSU. So, okay, that was LSU. Bama, 09, 11, 12, 15, 17, and 2020. The longest span he's gone at Bama without winning a national championship since he won his first one was before this most previous one. He won one in 2017. So that's still only 3 years.
That's technically only two.
Dude, could you imagine growing up like we started like getting really into college football like when I was in high school, like probably around like 06, 07 when Chase Daniel was huge at Mizzou. Since that time, Bama's won 6 national championships. Could you even have, like, would that even be fun? Like, is it fun as a Bama fan? Do you think?
I think it'd be incredible. I mean, you saw what Tuscaloosa looked like on Monday night. That's insane. Like, crazy that even happened with everything going on, one. But
yeah,
two,
with
everything going on, that just blows my mind. But you know what? That's like, I missed that. I got so happy seeing that because, like, what I would do to like go back and like watch a Blues game at a bar surrounded by people, or go to a fucking Cardinal game surrounded by people. Like, that was awesome seeing that. So congrats to them. But yes, I do think that it's still fun for them. Cause I mean, obviously you're winning the championship.
Okay. And the last thing before we move on is Nick Saban, the greatest college football head coach of all time.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. How many championships is that? Six?
Seven.
Seven. So he's won seven
at two different schools. Okay. Two different schools. What about Bear Bryant, who coached at Alabama? He won 6 national championships. So he just passed Bear Bryant.
Yeah, exactly. Which is why they were like, I think why ESPN and everyone was saying that he's the best college football coach now of all time, passing Bear Bryant, because he has 7. I mean, Nick Saban, though, like, he doesn't even look excited to win them anymore.
He did cry last night, which surprised me.
Probably because he knows he's going to be done soon.
He's 69 years old. Going on, he just turned 69. Nice. In October on Halloween.
That's insane. He does not look 69 years old.
He's 60. He just turned 69. His birthday's on Halloween, so he'll be 70 next year. I think he comes back, man. To be honest with you, I think he probably wants one more go round with fans in the stadium, like a full blown packed house in the stadium. Hopefully, we get that next football season. But, yeah, dude, I mean, you want to hear his we'll run through real quick his coaching history. Started in 1973. He was a GA at Kent State, by the way, with our boy Gary Pinkle. You know him, Gary Pinkle, were coaches together at Kent State.
Yep.
And he was the linebackers coach in 75. They went to Syracuse to coach the linebackers in 77. West Virginia to coach DBs in 78. Ohio State to coach DBs in 1980, was at Navy for a year coaching DBs in 1982, Michigan State defensive coordinator from 83 to 87, went to the NFL for a year, coached the Houston Oilers DBs, then went back to Toledo, or went to Toledo as the, I guess, the head coach at Toledo for 1990, then jumped back to the NFL, 91 and 94 was the Browns defensive coordinator, then went to Michigan State as the head coach from 95-99, then to LSU from 2000 to 04 as the head coach, won a national championship there, then to Miami Dolphins for 2 years, 05 to 06, which he fucked us on Drew Brees, and then Alabama since 2007. And when he took over Alabama, guys, by the way, they were not a fucking juggernaut.
I mean, that's just insane. The amount of places that he's been and things that he's, like, coached, incredible. I will say, I do want to mention about Monday night college football championship before we move on. We put out some bets that were less than stellar. Sorry, you guys, for putting you in the wrong, and we haven't been that great lately. But I do want to preface that by saying nobody could have predicted how that game could have went. I don't know if you saw our stats that I put out on Twitter, but Mac Jones had his best college game ever, ever on Monday night, threw the most passing attempts all year long. Like, that game was just weird from the get-go. So nothing you can do about that.
Yeah, Travis said, like, we haven't been great. We started off 2021, like, week one of the NFL, we started out great. We've been a little on a slide since then. Put out some college basketball plays tonight, which put a unit on each of those. They're looking pretty good. So we're going to get better. I mean, the week one of the wild card weekend wasn't, we did terrible, 2-3-1 each against the spread. We'll get better. And that's what we're going to do in Degenerates Digest. Real quick before we jump into that, let's talk about the Deshaun Watson stuff. Obviously, it's a big topic of discussion, even for us, because he's been rumored to go to Miami. So, Travis, in your – realistically
– I honestly don't even know about rumors anymore.
Realistically, do you see him getting traded?
No, I don't. I really don't. I think that the team, like the physical team and his teammates, love him too much, and they will be absolutely furious if he gets traded. I know that the team hasn't been great, or they weren't great this year. They're a pretty decent team, but they will be pissed. And he is a good quarterback. He's very good, actually. There's no way that if the management wants to trade him, they're stupid.
I don't see it happening either, but apparently he said he's going to hold out. If he doesn't get traded, he's very – now, granted, the whole reason why this happened, they hired a new GM that he didn't agree with, and he was told by ownership that he would be involved in decisions when they gave him that massive contract, which when you're the quarterback face of the franchise, I do not disagree with. You should be involved in those decisions. But what I'm saying is they didn't interview interview the fucking candidate that he wants to interview. And then they're like, yeah, we're not going to view Eric Bieniemy. You mean not going to interview the guy that's led the top offense in the league for the past 3 years to be your head coach? Like, fuck off. Now they're finally getting an interview request with them. But a lot of people are saying that it's too late. Like, he's either going to take, like, maybe the Jacksonville job. He's rumored to the Jets.
Like, well, you guys don't really want me. You're only doing it to make Deshaun Watson happy. So I don't really want to take this seriously. So I don't blame it. I really don't think he goes anywhere, though. I don't think anything comes of it. It's just, you know, off day. What can we make go around the NFL?
All right, Travis, real quick before jumping, because obviously our Dolphins are rumored. What is a realistic trade that you would do to get Deshaun Watson? And what is some of the shit that we've seen on social media? Like the one trade you – first of all, lead off with the trade that you saw on Twitter of one guy, a Houston Texans fan, what they would need from Miami to get Deshaun Watson. This is laughable. Yeah.
This guy said that the Texans would need – first of all, just for Deshaun Watson, the Texans would need Tua – both of the Dolphins' first round picks this year.
3 and 18.
Number 3 and 18. They're 2022 first. They're 2023 first. Eric Flowers, who's a guard, and Xavien Howard. Now, that is the most absurd thing I've ever heard in my life. I think to replace Deshaun Watson, one, you're doing them, if they're getting rid of them, you're doing a favor by taking that contract off their hand. But I think a young quarterback that is on his rookie deal, doesn't have a big contract. So say Tua, and then a first round draft pick this year and a first round draft pick next year would do it.
And that's it. Maybe like
realistic,
maybe like another player that we don't really need that. It's like,
no, I don't think so. I don't think for a young, maybe if you're trading an old quarterback, But for a young quarterback, you're doing that and two firsts. I think that's all he's worth with that big contract.
I think it's fair too. And if the Dolphins do any more than that, I'll be pissed. If they do that, I'll be happy. But I think that's fair to for a fair trade. Real quick, he's been rumored in Miami. Anywhere else you think that could potentially trade for him? Detroit?
I don't know where he wants to go because he does have his no-trade clause. I think it would be a place where he obviously would want to hang out. I'm thinking a warm or tropical place, maybe like San Francisco.
Yep.
That's probably going to – maybe San Francisco, maybe. And I'm talking deep stretch Carolina.
Dude, really? That's crazy. You said that. Those are the two exact spots that I was thinking.
Yeah, those are my only two places I think he'd want to go outside of Miami.
Carolina, him with CMC would be deadly.
Yeah, that'd be wild.
Yeah. So Deshaun Watson, we don't think he's going anywhere. If top three spots, obviously Miami, San Francisco, and Carolina probably. But then at that point, San Francisco has to move Jimmy G, which I don't think will be hard.
Not a big deal because he's been less than stellar.
Yeah. So anyway, guys, I hope you guys enjoyed that intro. Just us shooting this shit back again. We're going to roll into the Degenerates Digest, talking about divisional rounds, doing it a little differently, putting a little spin on it. So we'll catch you after this music.
All right, this week's Degenerates Digest, we are coming to you guys hopefully with a little bit of a revamped version so that we don't shoot ourselves in the foot. We are going to talk about all four games, give, I guess, the way we're leaning on that game, but we're also not going to force ourselves to make a pick on that. We're going to give you our picks just how we like them. It can be a teaser, parlay, can be straight up, whatever you want. But we're going to talk about each game for you and just kind of throw out our picks as we go. So let's start with the Saturday game at 3:35. It is Rams at Packers. Packers are 7-point home favorites in the over-under.
It's 6.5 now.
Is it 6.5?
Yeah.
Okay. 6.5-point favorites, and the over-under is 45.5.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't – just spoiler alert, I don't have a pick, like, straight up in this game on my card. And it's tough to lean which way because the Packers are 10 and 6 against the spread. The Rams are 10-7 now with their playoff game last weekend. The over-under is hard to pick because Jared Goff's got a fucked up thumb. I don't think Wolford's going to be back. And honestly, their offense looked better with him in there. If I had to lean one way here, I'd lean Packers -6.5, but I don't like it very much. I think the Packers win this game very easily, though. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, so I do have a pick on this game, and it is going to be a first half pick. It is the Packers -3.5 in the first half, doing two units on it. Aaron Rodgers is 12-7-1 against the spread in the playoffs in his career. So not horrible, but I think the 7 is too much to lay with this game. Kind of scares me a little bit. I do think the Packers will win. -4 going to the half seems confident. I know Aaron Rodgers has a tendency, at least this year, to like kind of take off or fall off in the second half, not be as aggressive. They're going to want to come out firing at home. Jalen Ramsey, on the other hand, don't think he's going to be able to shut down Devontae Adams. I really don't. I think that the Rams are a little overrated, and so is Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, you know, the Packers' weapons are kind of limited. I mean, that's the biggest thing you hear from their fan base. They don't like MVS. They don't like what's the other kid they have there?
Equanimous. They like Lazard. A lot of people love Lazard.
Yeah, but then they have the Quanius St. Brown kid. So in Rodgers loves Adams. He absolutely loves him. I think Aaron Jones has a tough time getting the ball going in this game because the Rams D line is legit. Leonard Floyd and Aaron Donald are problems.
But what they honestly didn't shut down Chris Carson. I mean, Chris Carson had a decent game. I think he had like 70 something yards on 20 carries, which, I mean, it's not great, but it's not bad at the same time when you consider the Packers offensive line is solid.
Also, Aaron Donald got hurt. And apparently it is
it's his ribs.
Something new with his ribs. And he's going to have to get that shot that Tyrod Taylor had to get before the doctor fucked up and punctured his lung.
Nope. Don't like that. Don't like that one bit. So yeah, Aaron Donald's not 100%. I think that they'll be able to to play around him anyway, even if he does play. I think Aaron Rodgers is smarter. Packers are smarter. But anyway, -3.5 first half is my play on that one. So the next game, only two games on Saturday because there's four games this weekend, is 7:15. Ravens at Bills. Bills are 2-point favorites, and the over-under is 50.
So it's actually 2.5 now. It doesn't matter, whatever it is. I actually do have a play in this game straight up.
I do as well.
And my play is Bills -2.5.
All right. We have conflicting picks because mine is Ravens money line.
Ooh.
1 unit +115.
Okay. Mine is also for 1 unit, Bills -2.5. I like this lower spread much better than the 6.5 they had last weekend. But if they don't cover, then you'll see later that I have a few different ways where they can save you. Bottom line is the Bills have not lost a game since the Hail Murray, which was on November 15th, and that was a fluke. Before that, they hadn't lost since October 19th to Kansas City. So they've been just red hot. I don't see – the Ravens offense didn't impress me enough on Sunday that they can outscore this Bills offense.
See, I think it's going to come down to defense. I know that we're in a day and age, obviously, National Championship Monday. Defense, if you have a defense, then you're going somewhere. And I think the Ravens defense is way better than the Bills. I think the Bills run just ends here. They gave it a good go. You know, they made the playoffs last year. They can win a playoff game this year. But I think it ends. I just think that their defense is very hit or miss. Lamar Jackson figuring it out on his legs and on the ground. The Bills, like front seven, I don't think is that great. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I just really don't see it. On the other hand, the Ravens secondary is pretty decent. Marcus Peters, Marlon Humphrey, Jimmy Smith, all those guys. And the Bills only have one way to go, and that's through the air. They have nobody to run the ball through. And even if they do figure something out on the ground, the Ravens front seven is awesome too. So I just have the Ravens winning this one just for value, +115. Also, I think a lot of people are going to be hammering that Bills line, and Vegas doesn't lose.
Yeah. I mean, I don't love it, but I have the Bills in my Super Bowl, so I can't.
I mean, I know you got to ride it, and that's how I was last week with the Steelers.
Yeah, I can't.
I think that line, and you already said it's up to 2.5. People are going to be laying a lot of money on the Bills.
Yeah, if you are going to lock in the Bills, do it early. Is that the only play you have the Ravens in? Because I have the Bills on a few other things.
I have them in two other things, actually, but.
So that's probably the one game we're probably leaning different on, which is fine. It happens. We want to give you guys a variety of picks. You choose who to back. Roll into the Sunday game. Sunday at 2:05. Again, they have weird times with these divisional round games. It's a game that I'm very much looking forward to. You got the Browns at the Chiefs. We're depending on where you look at, the Chiefs are 9.5, 10-point favorites. We're just going to go ahead and assume 10 because that's where our book has it.
10 everywhere I look.
Yeah, Chiefs are -10, and the over-under is 57. I have a way. I mean, I actually do have a straight-up play in this game, but I'll let you kick it off.
As do I. I have Browns +10.
Same.
Only doing one unit on it, though.
Same.
Just kind of trying to keep them low, not trying to get burnt on a game. Even though on Sunday, was it on Sunday or Saturday, whatever they played?
Sunday night.
I know I said that they stand no chance to win this game, and I'll stand behind that. I really don't think they do. But a double-digit spread is going to be tough to cover in the playoffs when you're playing this scrappy Browns team. Worst-case scenario, I see the Chiefs up lower double digits late in the Browns' backdoor cover. That's worst-case scenario. I've been burned just way too many times on Kansas City, like playing sloppy games, coming out, not looking good to bet them on a 10-point spread. I mean, I'm sure it'll be just my luck the time I bet against them when rooting against them where they go off, but Browns +10, way too easy to not take.
Yeah, I agree here. And if your book has a 9.5, buy the hook to 10 just to be safe because that's a touchdown field goal. I also have only one unit on it. I mean, at the end of the day, Kansas City's 7-9 against the spread this year. And I know Cleveland's not much better. They're 7-10.
I saw that too. I want to interject. The one thing I can back that up with, and it might sound shitty to back up Cleveland's and not Kansas City's, Cleveland a lot of their spreads have been like 3-4. Like, they're usually not used to being favorited with the spread. Kansas City, on the other hand, is.
And it's double digits. Like, I've seen numerous Kansas City fans that I've went to college with that I follow on Twitter that do not feel comfortable with this spread. Like, are they confident they're going to win the game? Sure. But they're not comfortable with the spread. Also, last 5 years, Kansas City's 5-4 against the spread in playoff games. I know that's technically winning, but that's not really convincing for me, especially when it's double digits. 10 is a lot of points. And this Browns team can do one thing that I think can really hold the Kansas City offense at bay, and that's run the ball through Nick Chubb. That's what they're going to have to do to fucking keep this game close.
And it's Kareem Hunt's homecoming.
Yeah, hopefully it doesn't kick girl in a fucking Kansas City hotel or something like that. So
hopefully not. Maybe throw a party.
But I've seen a lot of Chiefs fans talk shit on him this week. I get it. You're probably salty, but the dude actually seemed to have turned his life around. So you gotta cheer for the guy a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I guess. Not a fan of him. Like Nick Chubb a lot more. So I'd rather see him have a 100-yard game. Yeah. Both got Browns plus 10. Let's lead into the last game. I don't have a play just on this game straight up. I want to. I'm leaning one. I might throw it out there while we're doing this. So who knows? Sunday at 5:40. Bucks at Saints. Saints are 3-point favorites, and the over-under is 52.
So I don't, and I just forgot. I have – so I told Travis asking for the podcast, like, how many picks do you have? I was like, I have 7 picks, and I got 2 half-unit value picks. My one half-unit value pick is Browns money line plus 385. That's pure value. Throw 5-10 bucks on it. My other value pick is in this game, and it's Bucks money line plus 150.
I don't even think that's good enough value to take – with this game, just to like throw some on it. If I were to lean away, I would lean Saints just because I do not see the Saints winning this game. When I initially thought this was going to play out, I thought the Bucks were going to play the Packers. And that's why I thought the Bucks money line this weekend was going to be good. But I think the Saints defense has stepped it up, and I don't know where the fuck it came from, but Tom Brady, I know he's getting old. I know it's him in the playoffs, but this Saints defense is legit.
They are. This should be a fun matchup. Like I said, these are pure value bets that I say. That's the only way I lean in this game. I got a half unit. So if your unit's 10 bucks, bet $5 on Browns money line and $5 on Bucks money line. If you
want the units 100.
And bet 50, because if your unit's 100, you are a high roller. I'm going to be straight up. I'll be transparent with these folks. I'll be transparent with them. My units probably felt about 15 bucks. I'll be transparent as fuck. I don't give a fuck.
Hey, we are standard men that work very average jobs, so we can't afford $100 units.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, you're going to judge me around a $15 unit, we are the average Joe gamblers. Like, we're not like the big cats, the Daves of the world, whose units probably thousands.
I mean, I'll watch a game and I'll care as if I have $100 on it, because to me, $20 seems like 100 when I'm gambling on a game.
So that's what I'm saying. So that's why, like, that's my value bet, is half unit on Browns money line plus 385. Like, that is worth throwing a half unit down on, plus 385.
Yeah. And then Bucks is probably what, like 140?
150.
150. All right. Like I said, if I were to lean away, I'd do Saints, but I'm not going to throw out a pick. I do have a teaser. I have 2 extra picks throughout for you guys. I have a teaser that I'm going to put out there. It is a 7.1. It is, here it goes. Packers pick 'em, which we both like the Packers to win. I have Ravens plus 9, because I think that even if my money line doesn't hit, 9 double digit game in that.
Like that. Cover your ass.
Yeah. Browns plus 17. That's a whole lot of points. And then, like I said, I like Saints minus 3, but I'm going Bucks plus 10 on this one. And this is a plus 200 teaser, throwing 1 unit on it. Packers pick, Ravens plus 9, Browns plus 17, Bucks plus 10.
So you're doing all 4 games. I'm realizing I missed some picks in here, but whatever. I'll get them all. I also have an NFC. I have an NFC and an AFC teaser. So both NFC games, both AFC games. My NFC teaser is a 7-point teaser. It's minus 130, so the odds aren't great, but I think it has a good shot of hitting. It's Packers, either money line or plus a half, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. It's the same fucking shit. Packers plus a half and Bucks plus 10. I got 2.5 units on that one. I'm very confident that even if the Saints do win and the Bucks don't lose, there's no way the Bucks lose by more than 10 points, right? I feel like that's going to be a close game to the bitter end.
You wouldn't think so. I mean, I have Bucks plus 10 in mind. So then again, okay. The very last game, my teaser could be damn ruined by then. But yeah. I do like that. And then I'll go ahead. I'll do my next one. My next one is a money line parlay. Parla. It is the Ravens, Packers, Saints, plus 357. I mean, that's pretty decent. Ravens, Packers, Saints, plus 357. One unit on that.
Damn, dude. So you killed me. So are you done with all your picks?
That's it for me. I have five.
So rattle them off for the folks again.
Yeah, so I got Packers first half, minus 3.5. That's my pick. Ravens money line, plus 115. Got Browns, plus 10. And then my seven-point teaser is Packers, Ravens, Browns, Bucks. It's plus 200. And then my money line parlay is Ravens, Packers, Saints. So do have a lot riding on the Ravens, but I think that's one game that, if anything, I feel confident that could be the closest of the weekend.
Okay. You got two big, if the Ravens don't win, they can still cover in that teaser, and that'll probably make up for your money line and money line parlay.
Correct. Because that teaser, if all hits, is plus 200. So that will literally break even.
Okay.
If the Ravens don't win.
So I told you my NFC teaser, which is Packers money line and Bucks plus 10, 2.5 units. I have an AFC teaser. It's a 7-point. It's plus 150. It's Browns plus 17. Bills plus 4.5, Bills plus 4.5 and Travis's could still hit. I mean, that game is going to be close. And then Bills Ravens over 43. I feel like there's going to be a lot of points scored in that game. 1.5 units on that. You guys already know I had Bills minus 2.5, one unit, Browns plus 10, one unit. I also like the Rams team total under of 20. It's at minus 125. I'm doing a unit and a half on that. Rams scored 30 points against a weak Seattle defense. 7 of those were a pick 6. Weather looks really bad in Green Bay. Apparently it's supposed to snow and be shitty. Jared Goff's thumb doesn't pair well with that. So Rams team total under 20, 1.5 units.
Are you done?
No, I have two more.
Jesus.
I told you I had 7 picks. Packers, Bills, money line parlay, which doesn't go well with Travis at all, plus 135, unit and a half. And I got like the Kansas City, Cleveland first half over 28, one unit.
Wow. See, I'm adding one. I'm adding a pick in here just because so I can have 6 picks. I'm having a 7-point teaser, and it is going to be Browns plus 17.
Why don't you do Chiefs?
No, not doing that.
No.
No, not doing it. Browns plus 17, under 64. That's a lot of points in an NFL game.
It is.
It really is. And so I think that the Browns are going to have to stop the Chiefs if they want to, you know, keep this within 20. Like, it's not going to be a score fest. If it's a score fest, they're going to get blown out.
Yeah. So that's why I did Casey Cleveland first half over, because I feel like the first half is going to be like a lot of points. They're probably going to go back and forth, but then both defenses will probably get it dialed in.
Was it 27?
28 first half over.
28, which, I mean, if they score 30 points, score 30 in the second half, under 64 still hits. So I'm kind of for Browns plus 17. On the other hand, if that game's a blowout, then fuck Ohio fans and they deserve to be embarrassed.
Man, that Bills Ravens game is conflicting on us. We have some conflicting picks.
Nope. Sorry. Hang on. Change the Chiefs minus 3 to cover my ass.
I was gonna say,
I don't want 3 different picks riding on Browns to cover. Yeah,
so I'm saying we might as well. So,
we'll tweet them out if we're confusing you.
I know it's a lot, but we wanted to not pigeonhole ourselves. I think we got a lot of value here. Travis's money line, like, I'll probably still ride Travis's money line parlay because what'd you have? You had Packers,
Saints, Ravens.
And if that all hits, that covers me on Bills money line parlay, covers me Bills minus 2.5, and it also covers me at my half unit on the Bucks.
So yeah, because it's plus 357.
So I'm saying, like, guys, like, you can still have opposing picks and hedge yourself. Like, it may not be a bad idea to take everything we do, or it could all go, we can go 0 for fucking 16 or whatever it is. But that's not going to happen. I feel fairly confident. We got a couple teasers, a couple straight up picks. I got a team under, moneyline parlay, first half over. Travis has a first half line. Like, we got some good picks for you this weekend.
Yeah. So hopefully pick up, you know, get stuff that we like in there, some different shit rather than just keeping it game per game. So that's that. I think that's all we have for episode 106. Check out everything coming up, and yeah, we'll see you guys on the flip side.
Take it easy. Happy wedding.